What's up, everybody? My name is David. You're listening to the Damn Sports Podcast with my friends Austin and Mikey. And we just thought we maybe could bring some value to y'all's lives by talking about some sports. So that's what we're going to do. I go to Clemson University. I am 21 years old. I will be a senior this coming year. And my teams are Clemson, obviously. I love the Panthers as well. I like the Charlotte Hornets, you know. I'm a hometown guy. I also like various players, and you'll get to know that as I talk about things.
Michael, I'm 21. I go to the University of South Carolina, so I'm a big Gamecock guy. My teams are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Huge fan of them. Kind of the most hated team, but it's okay. You know, we got six rings. That's why we get hated on. And I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan.
Already bringing that up.
I've been a Brooklyn Nets fan since we were the New Jersey Nets, so don't call me a bandwagon just yet.
My name is Austin Gunnels. I play soccer at Limestone University, but I actually hate soccer. my teams are, I'm a big Dolphins fan, big Heat guy. I'll explain that to you guys eventually. And a huge South Carolina Gamecock fan. And yeah, man, we thought this idea would be cool. We feel like we know a lot more than the average Joe, and we feel like we could give you guys some stuff that's entertaining at the same time as informative about sports. So I guess we'll just hop right into it. We're going to start with the obvious thing that's going on in the sports world right now is the NBA Finals. Suns just dropped game 5, or down 3-2, and have to go to Milwaukee to save their season, or Milwaukee close it out in front of their fans and claim the first title in a very long time. So my biggest takeaway from the finals so far is, you know, not being able to win on the road for the Suns really proved pivotal. They go down, or they go up 2-0. Devin Booker's playing out of his mind. Chris Paul's playing out of his mind at the time, and they really dropped off here recently. And Chris Paul has really dropped off a lot as well. Big turnovers recently. Had like 5 turnovers in the whole Western Conference Finals, and had 6 last game on his own. So I think that's a big key from me is Chris Paul's play and his lack of keeping the ball, per se. I don't know what you guys think about that one.
Drew Holiday's defense.
That's a big one, too. They traded 3 first-round picks, and that steal was all that. They made up that trade just because of that steal he had. I mean, right, it made it all worth it.
So let's talk about Giannis.
Oh, God, right into it. Don't get me started on this one.
So what do you think about Giannis, Austin?
I mean, I've been called biased because he swept my Heat, so I hate him now. I used to not have a problem with Giannis, but now that they swept the Heat, I was pulling for the Nets instead of the Bucks, if that tells you anything. But I just feel I don't like the whole best player in the world comparison. I don't like hearing about that because it really pisses me off, to be honest with you, because he's the same size as Kevin Durant, right? Same size, same build, but same size. And look at what Kevin Durant can do with the ball compared to Giannis.
But if you look at what Giannis has created himself to be, he's not trying to be that player.
I get that. And I can't take away his numbers. I mean, you look at game 5.
What, he dropped went off. 40?
Yeah, he went off. 32. He had 32. Okay. 32, 6 assists, 9 boards. I mean, yeah, you can't really deny what he was doing on the floor, and you can't deny his numbers. But my point is here, and I'm a big guy where it's the player, and his skill set just is not that impressive to me. It's just he's just big and fast, and faster than the average 7-footer. He can't create his own shot off the dribble. It's just a go to the rim, and either you hope you get a foul, or you tower everybody and get a layup.
So,
but you can't stop that. So why should he change?
I'm not saying he has to change it. I'm just saying, for me to say he's the best player in the world is just laughable. I don't think he's better than LeBron. I don't think he's better than KD.
LeBron at this age, when LeBron was his age,
yeah,
was he doing the things he's doing now?
I mean, yeah.
Or was he?
He took the worst probably roster to ever make the NBA Finals in history to the Finals now.
Or was he mostly using his athletic God-given ability at that age?
In the beginning, yes, but he still had more skill.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Than Giannis did.
Yes, because yes, he's using his athletic ability. I mean, that's like saying he's using his legs and he was
more
given.
Gifted.
No,
you even say?
Not athletically.
No. Athletically?
Not athletically, no. Just size-wise.
Okay. Yeah. Is that not
like
a
put Giannis at the same height, the skill set he has now, but the same height with LeBron. I don't think I don't know.
That might be true.
Maybe I'm reaching a little bit, and maybe I just really don't
like
Giannis.
He's 6'11"?
No, it's like 6'11", 7 foot, something like that. I don't know.
All right, but, and you say, so you've told me earlier tonight
Oh God.
That Giannis has no ball skills.
I don't believe he does. I think if no one's pressing him up court, yeah, he can take the ball up the court and run point guard when he's just dribbling up. But then if you watch him, he takes the ball up the court, either he passes it right away or it's just a straight line drive to the rim. He's not breaking down anybody. He's not doing anything special. He's just driving straight to the rim. And everybody guarding him pretty much is undersized. Like, they're not putting centers on Giannis.
Giannis is 6'11", by the way. He's 6'11".
So, well, haven't they been guarding him with Ayton?
Yes and no. They switch it off.
Okay. So, is he not putting up these numbers on Ayton?
I mean, he is, but I think Ayton already is a center, right?
Okay. So, a true
center.
There goes your size argument.
The size, if he's sitting under the rim, but Ayton can't just sit under the rim.
But then you say he has no skills besides being close to the rim.
It doesn't take that. What I'm saying is it doesn't take that much skill to just be that long and fast. He's faster. Ayton has him with the size. But I have not denied the fact that Giannis is faster than the average 7-footer, 6'11 guy. So if Aiden's guarding him straight up, he's just going to blow right by him because of his speed. It's not because he's doing anything special.
I think what Austin's
not taking anybody off the dribble.
I think what Austin's saying is Giannis definitely has skill than the average player, and it helps that he's tremendously.
Giannis is above average?
He's tremendous.
Don't think he's
best player
in the
world.
I don't think he is.
He's saying he's not. Okay, Giannis is great, but everyone's making him out to be the best player in the NBA when he's not.
I think he is.
I just don't.
He's not great, but
I've seen this argument.
I would take Kevin
times,
Durant every time.
Yeah, I think you can compare. I think just his mentality, the way he approaches the game, and the fact that he knows what he's good at. Does he though?
Look how many three pointers he takes.
Yeah, he takes a few threes.
A few.
And then he goes in and averages over 50% a game in the finals. Isn't he averaging over 50%? What's his field goal percentage?
In the field, he shot 60%.
60%?
In total.
In the finals.
Last game.
Okay.
I don't know about his finals averages.
Okay, 32 points shooting 60%.
All right, David, so...
But think about... Okay, let's...
In the finals.
I'm going to pull up...
I'm
going to pull up the game chart. I'm going to pull up where he shot from. Let's get...
Okay.
Be honest.
It's not like it's easy necessarily.
Well, Austin's doing that.
Two shots. He made two shots outside the paint. Two.
Damn.
Okay.
Out of 32. Two shots out the paint.
But you're the one saying he doesn't stick to what he's good at.
How many... I was trying to throw a little jab in there at you about the three-point shots. But yes, he does know what he's good at. But also at the same time, I guess I hate watching basketball where he's just running to the rim. And honestly, about 40, 50% of the time, he's just getting a foul called because he's so freaking big. Like, I don't know. I think Kevin Durant, you look at a shot chart him, it's not in the paint. He is same size, doing so much more with basketball.
Right, but he doesn't have the ability to do what Giannis does in the paint.
At 7 foot, I think he does.
Why doesn't he?
So would you take...
Because he's better at doing other things. He's not one-dimensional. He can do it all.
Would you take Giannis over Kevin Durant?
I would.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't.
How could you possibly take Giannis over Kevin Durant?
I can't fathom that.
Kevin Durant is the best.
I think Kevin Durant's the best player in the world.
He's the best player in the
world.
Are
we talking one season?
Come on, I don't like Kevin Durant.
I'll even say five seasons. You could throw age as a factor in. I mean, I would take Kevin Durant for the next five seasons over Giannis for the next five seasons.
Absolutely.
I think the most talented player, probably skill-wise, is James Harden.
James Harden would be, but he doesn't.
If we're taking
put anything
size
in the
out of the
either.
Equation.
Yeah, I don't know.
James Harden, I mean, he came in to this season.
My thing with James Harden is
not doing anything.
He really is.
You have your offseason grind. James Harden has his. Hang out with Lil Baby.
I mean,
it's been working.
And get a rest.
Not really. In the finals, he bummed up his hamstring in the finals when we needed him.
The only thing about James Harden is I wonder, this next season is going to be pivotal for him because I wonder how good he's going to be when he actually has other people around him. His numbers were fantastic.
He's always had people around
him. He played that ISO ball in Houston.
I'm just saying he's very talented.
I thought he did great. When he was healthy, he did great passing the ball and getting the ball around.
I think Kyrie Irving's also in that discussion.
I would be more worried about Kyrie Irving than James Harden.
Yes, if you take the team that he had with Chris Paul, and it was Clint Capella, right? He was there with them. That's basically the same team the Suns have right now. If you just switch James Harden with Devin Booker and Clint Capella with DeAndre Ayton.
That's a great question right there. Would you rather have James Harden or Devin Booker?
Honestly,
I think I'd rather take James Harden if he's healthy.
I would rather have James Harden from a skill set point, but from a mindset and the way he approaches the game, I think I would rather have Devin Booker.
I'm sorry. There's no way. There's no way I'm taking James Harden over Devin Booker.
Really?
I'm taking Devin
Booker.
I think it comes back to the mindset.
Ridiculous.
Same thing with Giannis.
If James Harden's healthy,
same thing with
Giannis
versus KD. Giannis just, he's a killer. Like, and that comes back to both of them with Kobe.
Yeah.
It's just
but
that mindset.
But the thing is, too, you gotta really think about this. How much did we really, like, everyone's getting put on notice with Devin Booker now. Like, everyone's getting put on, and they know who Devin Booker is now because of this finals run. Were you watching Devin Booker last year when the Suns weren't making the playoffs? Were you really noticing? He's been doing this stuff for a long time.
The only time people noticed him is when they're in the bubble and they made that little run, and that was
they won all their games in the bubble, exactly. So they make the playoffs. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But
other than that, Devin Booker has been doing this.
I mean, you would hear flashes about him
dropping like 50 like some games.
He dropped 70 against Celtics in a loss.
Exactly.
He never had help around him.
He didn't.
He's still doing the same thing. And now he has help. He's doing the same thing. I think that really speaks to him. Because, you know, a lot of players, like we could say James Harden, we don't know yet. I'm going to give him a full season with the Nets. Healthy season. Devin Booker is been doing it all along with it when he didn't have help. And he has help, and he's still doing the same thing. I know a lot of guys, they go off when they're on a terrible team because anybody can drop all these numbers with bad players. They get a teammate that's good around him, and then they drop off. That's my other thing with like someone like a Bradley Beal, who like last year averaged 30 points a game with the Wizards, but he's averaging with the Wizards without John Wall by himself. What is Bradley Beal going to do if he gets put on the roster with a really good talented person? His number slightly dropped off with Russell Westbrook this year.
Wait.
I'm just saying that's another comparison I'm making.
So you're saying Russell Westbrook is not really talented?
No, I said he's another talented player.
Yeah.
So you say his number slightly dropped off.
Bradley Beal's.
So you're saying if there was another player, if there was a player better than Russell Westbrook, you wonder if his numbers would have dropped off more?
Russell Westbrook's numbers?
That was just an example. We're not really talking Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, no, that was just an example.
A little soft spot
I'm just saying Devin Booker is doing that. He's been doing this, and we're just now noticing.
So who do you got to win the finals?
Yeah, back on track.
To win the finals? Well, now – all right, so even when the Bucks were down 0-2, I honestly didn't necessarily know if they were going to win, but I wanted them to. I just want Giannis to win. I think Giannis just deserves it.
Well, who are you taking game six is the question here.
I think the Bucks. What was it? Is it? It's
in Milwaukee.
I think the Bucks probably win, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree. My thought was when the Suns went 2-0, I was like, it's not over yet.
The Suns just look like a different team now.
They went up 2-0.
They were at home.
I said if they got one on the road, in that either 3 or 4, if they got game 3 and 4 on the road, go up 3-1, and I thought there was no way the Milwaukee's going to win. Milwaukee closed them out. That's why game 5 was huge. Closed them out at home. Game 5 was huge. Milwaukee got that road win. If Chris Paul shows up and plays out of his mind and Devin Booker does what he's been doing, then I think the Suns have a chance, but I just can't see. They haven't beat him in Milwaukee yet. Phoenix is not great on the road.
I think they're going
to
take it.
I think, sadly, as much as I hate to say it, because I'm not a big Bucks guy, like I said, big Heat fan.
I hope the Suns win just so we can get
a game 7 would be nice.
I think Phoenix is going to take game 6 here.
I think game 6, I think Milwaukee wins. I really do. But it also brings up the question, say Phoenix sneaks it. Say Phoenix sneaks one in Milwaukee.
Damn.
I think game 7 is in Phoenix.
I don't think they're
in Phoenix game 7 after beating them on the road. I think game 7 is Phoenix. It's already going to be hard enough for Milwaukee. It was hard enough for Milwaukee to get the one on the road. They're going to have to do it again in a game 7 after they just lost at home. I think
don't
Phoenix.
Don't underestimate the freak.
But I just don't think it's going to matter.
I think they're going to take this game.
Mr. Freak.
And then the Bucks are going to take game 7.
I think Milwaukee closes them out at home. Deer Park. Place is crazy.
We're about to see.
I think that's what's gonna happen here. We'll see. Yeah, have you seen that place? It's like a concert outside.
It's like a water.
No, it's outside. It is.
Is it?
Well, it is technically a water, but it's not what I was referring to.
Is that the same exact thing?
Yes.
What I'm saying is they have it outside the stadium where like a couple thousand people can like go outside the stadium and like it's like they put it on a big screen.
Oh yeah.
And they sell tickets for it. It's insane. It's like a huge concert people watching basketball.
Especially when they win.
Dude,
I'm sure it's...
I have a buddy who's from Wisconsin and he was putting on a Snapchat story and it was like it literally looks like they're just having like a rager. Like just because like
the atmosphere is insane.
Yeah, and you watch them, they show them on ESPN like the camera angle.
Oh,
and after they make like a layup, everybody's just like going berserk.
Crazy.
Yeah. So anyway, well,
all right.
Let's move on.
Austin, who's gonna win the finals?
I'm thinking Milwaukee. As sad as I am to hear it, I think.
Mikey.
I think Milwaukee's gonna win, but I think Phoenix is gonna take them in game 7. I think Phoenix is gonna win this game.
We're gonna have to conclude this, but
I think Phoenix is gonna win this game, and then they're gonna go back to Phoenix.
You think Phoenix is gonna win in Milwaukee?
Yep. And then Milwaukee's gonna win in Phoenix. Watch.
And Austin thinks if Phoenix wins, then there's no way they lose.
Yeah, but I don't think it's gonna matter because I think
he thinks it's gonna be done here.
I hope the Suns win, and I think even if the Suns win, I think the Bucks could still finish it. But
so basically, what I'm saying.
Yes, but I still think the Bucks are gonna win.
Yeah, I think Bucks win. Okay. So, all right, let's move on. Something I wanted to add into this because I saw it on Instagram the other day and ESPN posted it. and I think it'd be interesting to talk about on the podcast. It said the best teams to never win a title. So this is any sport, any league. I saw it. I have mine. It's going to be unpopular with a lot of people probably listening to this. It's going to be unpopular with a certain person sitting across the table from me. But I'm gonna let them. I'm gonna let Mikey and David. I'm gonna let y'all tell me who you think your best team to never win title was, and mine is, I think, is gonna be surprising, especially to this one across the table from me. But I'd like to hear what y'all think about that one. We'll go with Mikey. What do you think?
So a lot of people are gonna be mad that I say this. There was two unbeaten teams I was trying to pick between, and that's obviously the Dolphins when they went 16-0. But I decided to go with the 2007 New England Patriots because Brady won MVP that year.
Yep.
Threw 50 touchdowns. Yeah, almost 5,000 yards. That's almost 5,000 yards. Right?
That's insane.
Their defense their defense was ranked.
Didn't throw 55.
I think Pro Football Focus here ranked them 4.
Peyton Manning's better.
They were 4th overall.
Peyton Manning's better than Tom Brady.
Okay. That is another subject. I will beat you into the ground.
System QB.
We weren't going to get into our other topics because you keep saying that, and I'm just going to go off. I'm a big Tom Brady believer. He's not a system QB.
55 touchdowns.
Okay. All right, anyway.
Brett Favre's the GOAT.
Anyway. Love Brett Favre. Anyway, he threw for almost 5,000 yards, 50 TDs.
Yeah.
They had Randy Moss, 23 touchdowns, 1,500 receptions, top 5 defense in the league.
Randy Moss.
And who do they lose to? Eli Manning and the Giants that were a wild card team. They did beat Brett Favre in the championship at Lambeau, which is impressive. But, I mean, how do you lose when you have a top 5 defense and Tom Brady and Randy Moss?
Eli Manning.
I was looking at the game. I was looking at the box score, and it was like the numbers were almost identical. I mean, neither quarterback really played out of their mind.
Michael Strahan.
But 5 sacks. Brady did give up 5 sacks for
Brady Boston. Didn't give up 5 sacks. That wasn't his fault. It was his Lions' fault.
Well, 5 sacks.
Well, if he was Deshaun Watson, you wouldn't have got sacked.
All right, Clemson.
5 sacks for 37 yards total. But his
Deshaun Watson might not ever get sacked.
Bad for some, but also to throw, he threw 48 pass attempts, completed 29 of them, 266 yards. I expect a lot more. If you throw 48 passes, but he didn't throw a pick.
And the Giants had a good defense.
When I was
that
looking
year.
This up, I'm thinking Eli Manning is probably went off then if Brady played the average. Eli Manning threw 2 touchdowns and a pick, 2 of 55.
This was a different era of football too.
I wasn't that old to remember how this game went down, but it doesn't seem like on paper there was much separating the two teams. It just happened.
It was one play. They were up. There was about, if I'm correct, there was about like a minute left, and Eli Manning made that incredible pass and then helmet catch to Tyree.
Incredible pass,
David Tyree. That's what it is.
David Tyree. Yeah, he caught on to helmet, and after that, the momentum just switched, and that was game over.
Yep. I thought about them. Instantly when
Who
I
was
saw
the
this
running
thing,
back on the Giants? Was it Ahmad Bradshaw?
It was either that or Brandon. It was Brandon Jacobs. It was Brandon
they had both
Jacobs.
Of them?
Ahmad Bradshaw, I think it was.
They were low-key nice.
After. They were a wild card team. I mean, they almost didn't make it.
Yeah. They were nice, though.
I mean, they almost didn't make it.
Yeah.
And they Eli Manning totally changed how he played in the playoffs. That's the one thing that separates that people talk about him going to the Hall of Fame. His playoff record. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, so David, what do you think for your best team number one title?
Carolina Panthers.
I'm not surprised.
2015.
A little biased.
That team was loaded. They just really, really underperformed in the Super Bowl.
Cam was just playing out of his friggin' mind that year.
In the Super Bowl. I mean, they struggled hard that Super Bowl. I mean, they scored 10 points.
I think best team, though. Best team overall. That team was unstoppable.
Now, here's an interesting stat I just saw. From that Super Bowl, was the Panthers had 21 first downs to the Broncos 11.
Yeah. No, that game was... I don't even want to talk about that game. I just want to talk about the Panthers.
Wow. Actually, this game...
We don't have to talk about it.
This game was crazy than I thought. The Panthers had 315 yards total offense. Broncos had 194 and won.
It was a look at the turnover differential, though. That has to be the underlying
factor. Panthers had four turnovers,
exactly.
But the Broncos had 2.
All right, we get it. We lost in the Super Bowl. That's the point of the conversation.
Penalties. The Panthers had 12 penalties for 102 yards.
Those are the two underlying facts. That's why they lost. Cam Newton didn't jump on that fumble, and I'm pretty sure they were on the 10-yard line there.
The Panthers had a higher third down conversion percentage and 5 minutes more of time.
All right. Are we here to talk about the Super Bowl, or are we here to talk about the team that didn't win the Super Bowl?
Also, just one final point. Cam Newton threw 41 passes that game. 41.
Yeah, that's true.
That's unheard of for Cam.
No touchdowns and one pick.
Especially that season.
And two fumbles.
That's unheard of from Cam. Especially that season, too. I mean,
that season
he was unstoppable running the ball.
That season he had 10 rushing touchdowns.
Peyton Manning. That was a pick.
No touchdowns, 141 yards.
Peyton Manning lost a starting job to Brock Osweiler that year. Lost the job to Brock Osweiler that year. And then finally got it back and just rode the defense to a championship.
Von Miller
was unstoppable.
Two and a half sacks, two forced fumbles in the Super Bowl. Anyway, yeah, go ahead and talk about the team real quick.
All right. Sorry, just get all that out of your system.
It's kind of helping your point. We just had a really bad game. A really bad game.
Yes, that is true.
And unlucky.
All right, so let's just go down the roster. So we have Cam Newton. Obviously, he was MVP that year. He had 45 total touchdowns.
Yep.
10 rushing, 35 passing. And the only game we did lose that season was to the Falcons.
We lost to, like, oh, including the Super Bowl.
So. Yeah. So the only game we lost, and that was when Julio put up, like, 300 yards, and he mossed Luke Kuechly. I'll never forget that play. It was like a, I don't even know, like a 40-yard bomb, and he mossed the crap out of Kuechly. But anyways, other than that, we basically dogged everyone we played. We had Cam Newton. That's all I need to say there. Jonathan Stewart, he went off. Had a 1,000 rushing yard season. Mike Tolbert was balling that out of his mind that year. I think they were all three Pro Bowlers. Then Greg Olsen was a Pro Bowler that year as well. He had over 1,000 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns. Then you go to the defense. You got Kuechly, Thomas Davis, Josh Norman. That was the prime of his career. Yeah. Peanut Tillman on his way out. We had Shaq Thompson. I think he might have been a rookie that year. Maybe it was first or second year. Then, I mean, Kirk Coleman, Mario Addison. I mean, that team.
You guys were loaded.
That team was stacked.
You were loaded.
This really bad Super Bowl performance really, really cost them.
Yeah, it did. If it wasn't for that Broncos defense, if they were slightly worse, I think you guys would have had that. For
Cam being
well, and then that leads to mine.
I love Cam Newton, I will say. I love Cam Newton. I still love him to this day. But that play made me unhappy. That's all I'm going to say about that.
That leads me to mine, and this is one we talked about before recording, and I didn't even tell these two really the details behind it. I just told them who I was going to talk about, and the big one for me, okay, and like I said, obviously, a little biased. If you know me, big, big Gamecock fan, and especially the younger years. I said the 2012 South Carolina Gamecocks, and here's why, and there's a lot behind this. And you can call some flaws in this, but let's just talk about the people on that team. You have Jadeveon Clowney in the prime. That was Jadeveon Clowney's prime year, 2012.
That was before his sophomore year.
It was before he was catching doubles every time, double teams every game. 2013, his numbers dropped off exponentially because of how many people were keying in on him. People had a game plan around him. Connor Shaw, best quarterback in South Carolina history. Mark Slattimore's on that team. A. Sanders. An absolute freak.
He's talking about Connor Shaw like that just made me laugh.
Well, he is the best quarterback in South Carolina history. Never lost a home game. A. Sanders. He never did. Never lost a home game. A. Sanders could not only was he a great receiver in the slot, but he's also an amazing kick returner, all that kind of stuff. We just were loaded on both sides of the ball, every position. Yeah. Okay, so the main reason I go to this team really got messed up with the scheduling. So if you know how conference play works in the SEC – is I believe this was at this time as well. Was this before A&M? Yeah, this was before A&M joined the conference. So, in Missouri. Actually, no, I'm wrong. Then I take that back. They had joined the conference. Anyway.
Flaw.
So, the way the scheduling works is you get, as an East team, you get paired up with two West teams, right? And you have your one West team that's guaranteed. So, at the time, South Carolina's guaranteed West team was Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we knew we were playing Arkansas. The other one was at random. It could be they randomly scheduled who your other team was going to be. Well, of course, this year we get scheduled LSU, and we got to play at LSU, the hardest place to play in the country.
So when they had OBJ?
I don't know if they have an intro. I think so. Probably. If it's 2012.
Yeah.
They also had Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, was that very good team.
The time that Clemson played them in the Chick-fil-A Bowl?
Roughly. Yeah, probably. Very good team. Okay. And that's, of course, we could have got paired with Mississippi State and Ole Miss, or somebody like that. That very beatable, especially with the team we had, very beatable. We get scheduled with LSU. We had a really good team, so it was one of those things where we're like, okay, we'll do it, but it's at LSU, under the lights. And, of course, that's who we got drawn that year. And not only did we get drawn them, Listen to this 3-week schedule, okay? We have to play number 5 Georgia at home. We have to play, at the time, LSU was number 9 in the country at LSU. And then the next week we had to play at number 2 Florida. So 3 weeks in a row.
That's just ridiculous.
Number 5 Georgia, number 9 LSU, number 2 Florida. So first game, we played
Florida
Georgia.
Florida actually good that year, or were they just preseason ranked?
At the time we played them, they were 7-0 in the SEC and number 2 in the country.
Yeah, they were good.
They were good. Right.
They were good.
Okay. So we play Georgia the first week. And this is important. So you got to remember this point. We beat Georgia. It could have been 35-0. We gave a crap touch at the end. But we beat them 35-7.
So we
beat the brakes off.
So we smacked them.
Smacked them. It was a slaughter from the get-go. Okay. So that happens. But then the next week, 7 days later, you got to play at LSU. Under the lights. Hardest place to play in the country. The real Death Valley. Play them. It is. Anyway. That's another topic. Number 9 LSU, we lose to them by 2, all right? Season's not over because we beat Georgia. We have the head-to-head against them. Yeah. We're tied with them. All we got to do is win out. But you got to play number 5 Georgia. 7 days later, play at number 9 LSU. 7 days later, play at number 2 Florida.
Yeah.
Play Florida, you could just tell we were gassed, dude. You could just tell we had nothing in the tank. And the thing about this game was I'm at this game. 4 turnovers killed us. At the same time, we had more. They scored 44 points. They beat us 44-11. They had 44 points, had 183 yards of total offense.
So we turned the ball over 4 times.
Exactly. We turned over on a kickoff. They picked up a kickoff fumble and ran it back for a touchdown. It was ridiculous. It was the most fluke game I've ever seen in my life. We ended up winning the season. Georgia doesn't lose another game, okay? So Georgia gets to go to the SEC championship.
This is before playoffs, too. So.
Yeah, yeah. So Georgia goes to the SEC championship instead of us. Same Georgia team we beat 35-7. Plays Alabama. So you're thinking, okay, well, you guys could have made it there, but you would have lost Alabama. That same Georgia team lost to Alabama. Lost to Alabama by 8 yards. They were 8 yards away when the clock ran out from winning the game. They caught a pass when the time was expiring at the 5-yard line. Clock ran out. Georgia was this close to beating Alabama and going to national championship. The same Georgia team we beat 35-7. So I'm not saying at any given Saturday, you never know what can happen.
Yeah.
But we definitely would have been in that game. If that Georgia team was. We definitely would have been in that game. We were battle-tested all year.
Or at least had it. It would have been unfeasible that you
Yeah, won. We could have won that game easily. Alabama plays Notre Dame in the national championship and beats the brakes off them.
My God.
I'm sorry. I think everybody at this table can say that South Carolina team would have annihilated that Notre Dame team.
We would have killed Notre Dame. So you're saying if we did...
Basically replace LSU with Mississippi State.
If we didn't play LSU, you 100% believe we're in the national championship.
I think if we based on how Georgia played against Alabama, we definitely would have had a chance. If we somehow can squeak by Alabama, it would have been a close game either way.
Yeah.
If we squeak by Alabama, yes, absolutely.
If times were different too, and
the playoff.
You would have been in the SEC championship, then even if you lost, you still could have.
Yeah, and the same goes for 2013. 2013 we had the same roster, basically a little better, an older version of this roster from last year. We finished the year 4th in the country, but there's no playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, people always – I say that and they're like, oh, you're just a Gamecock fan. But if you really look at this, if you look at these points, it's valid. I mean, what are the odds we get LSU with this team and in that stretch? I'm talking in 3 weeks you're playing 3 top 10 teams in the country, including a number 5 team, a number 9 team, and a number 2 team. 2 of them on the road, and you got to play in back-to-back weeks. And that goes to my argument with the conferences. It's like – I don't know, man. It's tough. And if we get, say we get Mississippi State or some average SEC West team – then maybe they upset us, but probably we beat them with this team because we killed everybody else. If we beat them,
LSU finish that year?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but I just know. I'm just saying, if we get like a Mississippi State or someone like that, or Ole Miss, or even on Auburn or something, we finish with one loss to Georgia. One loss to Florida. We win the head to head, and then
I think
we play at Alabama. And honestly, the national championship that year would have pretty much been Alabama and South Carolina.
Yeah. If we would have beat LSU,
Notre Dame's a joke that year. That was the Manti Te'o, like that was their best player, a linebacker. The national championship would have been the SEC championship that year. We beat Alabama, we're national champions.
You got some good points. I think Clemson fans would disagree with you just because they're Clemson.
I mean,
fans.
Yeah, but if you want to be unbiased here and actually look at it from that perspective, I mean, obviously I am biased because I'm a Gamecock fan. But if you really want to look at it from a perspective of trying to be objective, I mean, I think it's definitely feasible. Now, obviously, you can't be like, well, you can't say like. Your scheduling, like you can't control that. I mean, you're right, but I'm just saying it's really unlucky.
Yeah.
In a 3-week span, fine. We play these 3 teams, but space them out throughout the season. One at the beginning, one in the middle, one at the end. 3 weeks to prepare for 3 top 10 teams.
There's
that's
no
tough,
way.
Man.
There's no way.
2 of them on the road, but that's just me. That's who I think the best team to ever win title.
So you love your Gamecocks, and it kind of ties us into our next topic. we're going to talk about NFL teams that maybe didn't make the playoffs this year, maybe they did, who you personally think can make a Super Bowl run.
Well, for me, big Dolphins fan.
Exactly.
Okay. Big Dolphins
fan. That's why I kind of drew to you first.
And one day I got to tell you a story about how I became a Dolphins fan. Big Dolphins fan, big Miami Heat fan, never been to Miami. Do not call me a bandwagon because I'm a Dolphins fan. I've never once seen them win a playoff game in my existence. So before you guys even say, oh, you're a bandwagon, shut up. the Dolphins, okay.
Christian Wilkins.
We have all the pieces.
X-Factor.
Well, that ties in. We have a great defense. One of the best in the league. Great defense. If we can get Xavier Howard back, which I think
top
we will.
Corner.
I think we definitely get Xavier Howard back right behind Jalen Ramsey. We get him back. Defense is loaded up.
You guys have Jalen Ramsey?
No, I said top two corner.
Xavier Howard's right behind
him. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah. No. Our defense is stacked. Okay. Then last year the biggest problem I thought was, yeah, the run game was average, but we really didn't have any targets for Tua to even throw to as a rookie. Devontae Parker.
That's your number one, and that guy's a real number.
Jakeem Grant.
He's a real number two guy.
Honestly, our next big target was Gesicki as a tight end.
Yeah.
Now we have Gesicki. Got Will Fuller.
Yep.
Who proved that he can be a threat, especially downfield. Yeah. Got Will Fuller.
He can stay healthy.
Devontae Parker. Jalen Waddle, who I think is going to end up being maybe behind Trevor Lawrence, the best pick in this draft. We've drafted Jalen Phillips right after that out of Miami, who's going to be a great defensive lineman. It's all going to, and I know where you're going with this. We got Myles Gaskin. It's all going to rely on Tua. And I know you're not a big believer in him. Honestly, I'll be straight up with you as a Dolphins fan. I'm not a big believer in him. If he can develop and if he can turn out to be what people said he was going to be, I think the Dolphins can really make some noise. In the AFC East, I think they give because the Jets still working their stuff out. Patriots still working their stuff out. If we get a good enough team to compete with the Bills, I think we can make some noise.
I mean, my biggest factor is when you get benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick, not once, but twice.
Yeah.
That's where I'm kind of shaking.
He got thrown to the Wolves as a rookie.
He did.
On top of not really having too many targets to work for. Offensive line was not the best. We've worked on all the pieces that we need. I mean, honestly, it in them trading the number three pick instead of getting a quarterback, that shows the Dolphins, like the front office,
they're all in
on Tua.
Yeah.
And they know a lot more. They know a lot more than us. We won, 9-10 games?
Yeah.
We won 10 games, I believe.
Yeah.
We won 10 games last year to make playoffs, though.
With Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua interchanging
because
at quarterback.
Had such a good team all the way around, other than the
their defense was raw. Their defense was, I mean, you guys had a chance against the Bills, I remember, and you didn't win, but I mean, the Bills were nasty, and you had a chance to win that game.
Yeah.
If Tua can get it right, if Tua can even be like a Baker Mayfield, then you got a chance. I'm not high on Baker Mayfield, but he does enough with a great team around him and a great head coach. Right. I mean, if he can even do half what Baker Mayfield did, I think you guys have a chance to make a run.
Yeah,
but I
believe that.
To win a Super Bowl, I think Tua's really going to have to step up. He's going to have to.
It may not be a year where this may not be the year that we win a Super Bowl. I hope and I pray that this is a year that we make the playoffs. But because I'm telling you this, if we don't make the playoffs with this roster, this is a win-now roster.
Yeah.
They're going to go for a quarterback after this. Tua, this is Tua's chance. And it's crazy now that it used to be you give quarterbacks so many years to develop. Now it's like there's so many quarterbacks popping out of college football. It's like you, as a rookie, you get a year or two max, and then they're moving on.
I mean,
this roster, if we're not a bad roster. It's not like the Bengals with Joe Burrow where they're going to give him multiple years because they can build a team around him. We have the team around Tua. It's just Tua develops or he doesn't. And then if he doesn't, then next draft we're drafting a quarterback. But David.
So, I have a question.
Okay.
So you think that the Dolphins can win the Super Bowl?
With the depending on Tua, at the end of the day, that's what it goes down to. We have the defense to do it. We have the weapons to do
it. Okay. But you keep saying develops, but he needs to be more than developing in order for them to make that.
I mean, yeah. But when I say develops, it's like just becomes the quarterback that he was drafted to be.
Okay.
I think they can even win if he's a game manager. I mean, look who your Panthers lost to, a Peyton Manning who couldn't throw the ball more than 20 yards.
I mean, if you look at the targets he has.
You know what I mean?
Say Jalen Waddle turns out to be what he's going to be. He's gonna
Peyton Manning's hands were working.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle's going to be good. I mean, it's kind of hard not to be with the skill set he has as a receiver.
He's insane.
Yeah. Look at that receiving core with Gesicki as your tight end, Will Fuller, Devontae Parker, and Jalen Waddle.
You just don't have a big. Really, you really just don't have a big target for them. Besides Gesicki, I mean, you got Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle.
Devontae Parker's a big, big target.
Will Fuller is actually.
Will Fuller's a speed guy.
Yeah, Will Fuller's a downfield threat.
He is a downfield threat, but he can go up and make some catches. Have you not watched him play?
Yes, Will Fuller has tendencies to drop
either
passes.
Way, he's a great. Either way, he's a great.
No, he is. I'm not debating.
I think the PED thing was bogus. I don't think that. Was
Will Fuller's more of a speed guy. I'm gonna burn you. And that's how I'm usually going to get.
I think Devontae Parker's. If you look, you.
I think
Devontae Parker's going to thrive now. He's going to thrive now because he's got Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller. It's not all on him.
I think Jalen Waddle's going to go off, by the way.
Yeah, but
I think Will Fuller is very underrated as a guy who can go up and make big catches.
He can, but he's definitely his game is dependent on him being his break speed, his separation from
you watch him when he was with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson would run around and just
throw
it
up to him, and then he jumps up and freaking
was also a
does
lot of
a
passes, bro. And I had him on fantasy. A lot of passes. I watched a lot of his games. A lot of film was a lot of post routes. A lot of just him using his speed to separate himself.
Yeah, he's more of a speed.
The
guy.
Last game,
I'm
he
not
had,
saying
he
can't
it was like
do
Thanksgiving.
That.
Thanksgiving, the last game he had before the whole PED came
I remember you were playing against me in fantasy that week.
They were all balls.
Yeah, and you would have, and I would have beat you if it wasn't for that game.
He had like 39 yards or 39 points in fantasy, which is
it's insane.
You know,
I mean, if
Tua
can be the guy that everyone thinks he can be, I mean, I can see it. That goes kind of to my point with the Colts. I mean, Carson Wentz, you look at 2017, he was going to be the MVP. He was going to be the MVP, and then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Eagles win the Super Bowl, right? And then he has – so people love to talk about his down years, right? So I'm looking at 2016. He was obviously a rookie, threw for 3,000 yards.
I'm a believer in
Carson Wentz. Not that many TDs. We go to 2017. He misses.
He just needs to get out of his head.
He misses about two games because he tore his ACL. He almost had 4,000 yards passing, 33 touchdowns. And then everyone likes to talk bad about him in 2018. He had the most drop passes in the league, had no receivers, had no defense, still threw for 3,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions. And then 2019, again, no weapons, throws for 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions. Everyone says he turns the ball over a lot, 7 interceptions. Not bad.
The Colts definitely have the roster to do it, and they're in the division. That's good. That's a good.
I'll
division
take a guy who's
in.
Only throwing 7 interceptions.
It's a good division to be in if you want to make the playoffs. I'm just saying.
And
it's been so long since we've seen that from Carson Wentz.
But you want to know who?
It's hard to imagine.
You want to know whose coach was in 2017, which was MVP year? It was Frank Reich, or I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. That's the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts now. When he was in his MVP form, that was his coach.
Dun 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 dun.
So if he can get Carson Wentz to go back to the way he was in 2017, the Colts have,
they must
have
a
stellar defense. They have they have Jonathan Taylor, Marlon Mack, Nyheim Hines.
I think we just unlocked the secret to why he wasn't doing so good.
He didn't have his coach.
He was heartbroken.
But it's 2017.
He didn't have his
though,
coach.
Man. It's just,
love.
I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying for someone
who
I am a non-believer right now, just because it's been so long since we've seen
name me
Carson
a stud
Wentz.
Wide receiver they had with him.
Where in Philly?
Yeah, name one.
Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, that's my point.
I thought you were going to say Alshon Jeffrey.
Alshon Jeffrey's been hurt for
nice.
5 years.
Nice.
Alshon,
but he's been hurt for 5 years.
I'm tired of you, the disrespect.
I'm a Gamecock fan, but Alshon's been hurt for 5 years. They had Greg Ward, who was a quarterback at a college.
I'm tired.
On the
of
practice
you,
squad,
disrespect.
That was his number one wide receiver. Past like 2 years. I mean, and then. To make this quick, I mean, the Rams. I mean, how can you not win with this team? Top number one defense in the league. Matthew Stafford, who's
best
been
corner in the league.
Best corner in the league. Aaron Donald, best player in the league. You got Cam.
It's hard. Okay, I agree with that statement because so many people say it. I don't – I guess being him being a defensive lineman, I watch a game and I'm like, this is the best player in the world? I don't know.
Defense linemen, they're really not supposed to put up as many sacks
like
as they do. Oh, the dude is insane.
He's a unit. Yeah,
I'm
not saying people are wrong by saying it. Just someone who is, as a fan, I watch it, I'm like, well, I mean,
he might not be the best player, but he's the best defensive player.
It could be one like where I defend Clowney when he was in college, where it was like, maybe he's catching so many double teams, he's doing more damage than you see. Do more damage than you see on paper.
Oh,
he got focused so much on
Aaron Donald is getting at least double teamed every
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like,
if not triple teamed.
Like, the whole thing I was saying about Clowney was like, people talk about his numbers in 2013 compared to 12, and it was like he's doing more damage because of their game plan is revolved around stopping a defensive end.
Yeah.
He's getting double teamed. His numbers on paper are not that high,
but it's helping the team around.
He's causing so much havoc.
So the Rams have Sean McVay. They wanted a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. I'm not saying Jared Goff is terrible, but he's not Matthew Stafford.
So
Chernikov went to the Super Bowl.
That's a funny thing to say. He's no Matthew Stafford.
He's no Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, everyone loves to see the Patrick Mahomes no-look pass. Matthew Stafford's doing that 2 years, dude, 3 years
Stafford's
before.
Been, Matthew Stafford's been putting up numbers in Detroit. And you talk about
he has no teams. He had no running back, no receiver. The last receiver he had was like Calvin Johnson, if you want to count Kenny Galladay. Kenny Galladay's no scrub.
Marvin Jones.
I mean, these aren't like stud receivers.
Yeah. No, I mean, I
he had no weapons.
I would definitely
take
Matthew Stafford over Jared Goff.
Yeah, Jim Caldwell is his freaking coach.
Hey,
for
answer me this,
Pete's sake.
The year the Rams go to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Are you taking? You think if Matthew Stafford's on that roster, they win it?
Yes. The Patriots put up what, 10 points? I think the final score was 10-3. You don't think Matthew Stafford could put up more than 3 points?
I don't really think about Matthew Stafford that often.
He played in Detroit. That's probably why.
Exactly. If Matthew Stafford was on almost any other team,
when I think of Matthew Stafford,
let's tie it all together.
He would be considered a top five QB.
Just because you put Matthew Stafford on this upcoming Dolphins roster,
they win it. They win it.
Man, that's a bold statement.
Bro, Matthew Stafford is my GOAT.
Matthew Stafford. People think of him as a washed-up QB. This guy can still launch at 70 yards plus. He can throw on the run. He can make any pass imaginable.
Does he run?
he can throw on the run. Yes, he's not a Philip Rivers for Pete's sake. I mean, Philip Rivers couldn't move.
Don't you talk about the sidearm slinger?
All right, well, while we have some time, because we still have a little bit of time.
Oh, I never got to talk about my dark horse.
Oh, that's correct. I apologize.
All right. I'm going with the Chargers. And here's why.
That's not a bad pick.
One reason is all you need to know. Justin, not going to say a bad word, Herbert.
That man's a dog. That man is a dog. If you can play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, throw off your back foot about 60, 40. It was like 40 to 60 yards on your back foot with three guys in your face and hit a guy in stride. And Bruce Arians goes up and says, "You got your franchise QB for the next 15 years." That's all you need to know.
And he did all of that with Austin Eckler injured for most of the year.
Didn't really have a running game.
And Austin Eckler is also such a weapon in the receiving game.
If I'm not
mistaken
as well. I mean, like I said, I'm not too educated on the Chargers' offensive line, but I don't remember their offensive line. I always thought their offensive line was pretty bad.
Yeah, no, they actually just added to that. They got
Rashawn Slater in the draft.
Yes.
And they just picked
up. And he's a left tackle. So
I was watching some games, and it was like Herbert was under pressure.
Yo, that's why he was having to make those crazy passes every
time. Yeah. You get him a line.
And let me tell
you
what, give him some time.
One person they need to put some respect on is Keenan Allen.
One of the most underrated receivers
in
the league.
He's a freak. He goes up and gets everything.
If you put the ball around him, he's catching.
Yeah. Well, the reason he's been underrated is because I think for 2 years in a row, he got hurt.
Yep.
I think this is the first 2 years he's been healthy.
If him and Mike Williams, those are going to be the two X factors. If they can stay healthy.
Yeah, Mike Williams gets hurt too.
Yep. If them two can stay healthy. And, I mean, Austin Eckler now, after last season.
Same with Derwin James. Derwin James has missed two seasons too.
If they can put it all together this year, I'm taking the
Chargers. If they can stay healthy, I mean, you look at their games. They lost. There was only like one game where they got blown.
Did Joey Bosa get hurt last year too?
Yes.
He was hurt. I mean, he was still there for the season, but he ended up getting hurt, and he missed some games.
So who's the front runner in that division?
The Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
That was a dumb question.
Chiefs. Yeah. I mean,
well, that's going to be the biggest thing. So, honestly,
but I still think they can make
the playoffs.
I think
Chargers gives them a run for
their
money.
They went 7-9 last year, and they had a bad year. They lost all of their games by 7 points or less, except
Anthony
for one.
Lynn.
They lost one game by 8, and they got blown out by the Patriots. But other than that, every game was less than 7 points.
All your points are correct. I just still think, even with them fully loaded, I still think I'm taking the Chiefs. So the hardest part for them, the hurdle is going to be they're going to have to get a wild card. They're going to have to win the games.
They beat the Chiefs last year.
They're going to have to win every other game.
But that was also week 17.
I think the Chiefs are going to win the division every time. I think the Chargers are going to have to. I mean, if they can win the division, that's great. I just don't see it happening.
You just put something in Patrick Mahomes' ketchup.
I don't know, dude. I'm telling you, the Chargers are a real deal team. They're going to be. If they're they have to be.
And so are the Miami Dolphins.
I mean, I love the Chiefs and all, but I mean.
Say, what? Think about this. What if the Dolphins
we
draft?
We should do a segment just straight. What noises we think the team should
what if the Dolphins draft Justin Herbert instead of Tua?
They make the playoffs.
I don't remember who.
Oh, they win the Super Bowl.
I don't remember
who. Don't they win the Super
Bowl. Bro,
he's still really
good. He's a rookie, man. He has no playoff experience.
So, this is good for both of you two. Are you taking Okay. So I will tie all three of us together, the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
Which team goes farther? A team with Justin Herbert under center or Matthew Stafford?
It depends on the team.
Come
man.
On.
The Dolphins
Come
team
on.
Right now?
Oh, the Dolphins team?
Come yeah, on. That ties all three of us together.
Come on. You know it. You
Stafford
know.
Or Herbert?
You know it's Herbert.
Because you said Stafford's winning it all.
I'm still going Stafford.
Bro.
You guys don't understand
now,
how
we're
underrated
about,
Matthew
we're about, like,
Stafford
years
is.
Because if we're talking years in the road.
This year, who's going to win
about,
the Super Bowl?
Oh, yes.
One
right,
year with this
right
team.
Right now, Matthew Stafford. He's got more
that
experience.
That defense
Dolphins
have.
He's got more experience in the NFL. He played in Detroit.
Detroit.
What's the? If you look at Matthew Stafford highlights.
Bro, Justin Herbert was playing with Anthony Lynn.
So real quick, this question I just got off the rip. I want to get your question, like, we'll push it, because we're about to be at the end. You got to take one quarterback. This is their make or break year. This is it for them. If they don't perform this year, they're out. They're done.
What quarterback do I think?
Who do you
is,
think? I have mine.
What quarterback?
Wait,
okay,
just
so
any quarterback
in the league. This year is they have to perform this year, take their team.
Otherwise, they're out?
Or they're done.
Oh, I got multiple QBs.
Well, you pick one. We got to save them for the rest. So you
Daniel Jones. If he doesn't do anything this year with that defense, and now they got weapons run with Saquon and Kenny Galladay, if he doesn't do anything, he's done. This is what, his third
year?
Yeah,
I love their pick with Kadarius Toney out of Florida.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good, too.
Pick. That's a great pick.
I think he's
that guy can do it all.
He's a route runner.
Yeah.
And he's fast. I mean, if Daniel Jones doesn't do anything this year, he's done. I mean, look at Josh Allen. You expect someone like Daniel Jones to make that leap like Josh Allen did from year one to year two?
I don't think Daniel
Jones
is too bad.
I don't think he's bad. I think he could be a solid
But right
QB.
Now he's on the road to becoming a good backup.
Yeah, 100%.
Mine is, and I think it's a popular one, I think Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr has to win.
He has to.
He has
to make the playoffs. He has not made the – he made the playoffs one year.
People have
hurt.
Given
he
him a pass. People have given him a pass for so long and said, like, oh, he didn't have this, he didn't have that.
Yeah.
I think now it's like it's time.
It is, 100%. It's With time. John Gruden, he's got weapons around him. He has to.
Yeah, he's got to do something.
What about you, Dave?
I think I'm going to take Kirk Cousins.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Kirk Cousins, I mean, he signed that $84 million deal of 4 years.
They have weapons. Like,
they got weapons,
too. This is the last year, right?
Yeah, this is
that team
this
has
is his
weapons.
Last year.
Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson,
Adam
Thielen.
Dude, and,
they are loaded.
Yeah, and it's been a while. And,
yeah.
I mean, he does well every year.
Yeah, he puts up good numbers.
He does very average every year.
Right.
No, he puts up solid. He puts up probably around 27 to 30 touchdowns, 4,000 yards
But
passing.
You put him on the Dolphins.
They're not winning the Super Bowl.
Fins up, baby.
Kirk Cousins.
All right, Matthew Stafford is top five in Mikey's mind.
I think Mikey has a very good point.
Right now. Because he's been playing, I can't even put him in the top five because he hasn't produced.
I think
if he had a good team like the Rams, like he does now, we will see that he's going to be a top five quarterback.
That's like
this
the
year.
First time we've ever seen
okay.
just a straight up trade, dude. I
yeah.
know, every trade is like, you know, like
Detroit,
quarterback for picks in this position. That was a really cool trade.
Detroit
like just quarterback for quarterback.
Yeah.
We're starter for starter. We're switching.
I think
off.
Detroit fine was like, dang, we really wasted Barry Sanders' career here. We wasted Calvin Johnson's career here, Matt. We'll send you to LA. Okay? We're sorry.
Have fun.
We'll take Jared Goff. We don't want
the claim,
him.
The claim the fame for the Detroit Lions franchise is the fact that they get to play on Thanksgiving every day.
Yeah.
Every year.
Why do they get that? Why?
It's just a history thing, dude.
It doesn't.
It's always that game. It's always that game. It's like, I mean, I don't really. I wouldn't watch this on a regular day, but it's Thanksgiving and I'm eating with my family. Yeah, let's watch the Lions.
You know who watches it? People who have Matthew Stafford.
That's the one. That's the one Lions game I'll watch a year. That's it. Anyway, well, guys, I think we should conclude here. We've been going on for a little while. I think if you guys stick with us and manage with you, and you actually listen to a full podcast with us, I think you can tell we know what we're talking about. It's good. It's good discussion. I think you guys will gain a lot from it. I think you guys will enjoy it. Especially, we got a lot planned, man. We know a lot of people. I've got some big names lined up. Hopefully, to get on here with us, some names that are soon to probably become household names if they aren't already. So. It's going to be a fun one. We really got the setup. We're really going to work hard on it, and I think you guys are in for it if you stick with us and actually listen to episodes in full. But we will catch you guys here soon. We'll hopefully start popping out episodes pretty frequently. So it's been fun, and we will catch you guys on the other side. Peace.